Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
It's time to jump into Leviticus chapter 2 today on Through the Word. Leviticus is known as the Through the Bible killer. People who try to get through the Bible in a year often stop in Leviticus because, well, they just don't understand it. So let's jump into chapter 2, but try not to get distracted by the smell of fresh baked bread. Leviticus 2 verse 1 says, "When anyone brings a grain offering as an offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. He shall pour oil on it and put frankincense on it and bring it to Aaron's sons as priests. And then he shall take it from a handful of the fine flour and oil with all its frankincense, and the priest shall burn this as its memorial portion on the altar, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord." Leviticus chapter 2 is about the grain offering, and it's all about bread. Let's look at the tail end of verse 3. God says that this is a most holy offering to the Lord. That makes it unique, but it's also unique because there's no animals, death, or blood in it. So if you're a bit squeamish, you can relax a little bit during chapter 2. The chapter is divided into four main sections. Verses 1 through 4 are about if you just bring plain flour. Verses 4 through 10 are about if you actually bake something. Verses 11 through 13 give you some regulations. And lastly, verse 14 to the end of the chapter tells you what to do if you're offering it as part of the Feast of First Fruits. More about that in another chapter. Verses 2, 9, and 16 tell us that it is a memorial portion, meaning that we're supposed to be remembering something when we offer it. In specific, God wanted them to remember that He was their provider, that He was the reason they had their daily bread. And for that reason, He made this the easiest and cheapest offering that you could offer, in hopes that you'd do it more often. The more you remind yourself that God's your provider, the better. The main thing that the worshiper was meant to feel when he offered the grain offering was that he was satisfied with what God had provided. And of course, bread is such a good picture of being satisfied. Back in the 80s, we used to play a video game called Gauntlet. In it, there was a warrior who used to say, "Warrior needs food, badly." If you didn't feed him, he'd keep ticking off, and eventually he'd say, "Warrior is about to die." Well, you may have felt so hungry before that you felt like you were going to die. In those times, you want something hearty like a burger, a pizza, an enchilada, or maybe some cookies. I better stop because this is actually making me hungry. There's just no denying that there's nothing that satisfies quite like things made from bread. God wanted the offer to be able to offer things a few different ways. And I'm not even joking when I tell you there's pizza crust, pancakes, and dough balls in this chapter. There are, however, no room for donuts. That's okay, though, because coffee wasn't invented yet. Neither was Homer Simpson. Dope! The cool thing about that was it allowed for people to express themselves differently in worship. There was a bit of freedom in this. In the Old Testament, you see a lot of different ways that people worship God. In fact, David once danced naked before the ark. Don't get any ideas, though. We're probably not going to bring back naked Sundays anytime soon as a means of worship. Besides, David was actually wearing a loincloth. The grain offering was something you offered when you wanted to thank God for providing for you. In the Old Testament, God revealed Himself as our provider. It was important to Him that we look to Him for our sustenance, for our provision. He told the Hebrews, "I am the Lord your God, the provider, the God who provides for you." Therefore, bread was hardwired into our worship of God because it was a symbol of everything you needed for life. Bread, after all, was what people ate from day to day. It was their staple food. In fact, it was what kept you alive. When the Hebrews were hungry in the desert, God rained down bread called manna. That was a big deal to them. In the same way that God provided something to keep them alive, He sent Jesus to make us spiritually alive. And Jesus made this connection in John chapter 5. He was speaking when the people were out in the wilderness. They were hungry, they had followed Him all day, and they had nothing to eat. After miraculously making bread appear, Jesus said that He was the bread of life, the manna come down from heaven. And Jesus repeatedly likened Himself to the bread that we needed. At the Passover, the night before He was crucified, Jesus took bread symbolizing God providing for them and broke it, saying, "This bread is my body given or provided for you." The reason why verse 3 says it's the most holy offering unto the Lord is because it's a picture of Jesus. It had nothing to do with Jesus' death, but rather his birth. The bread represents Jesus himself, and here it represents God providing something pure and sinless to take our place. There's no blood here, no sin. For this reason, verse 11 tells us there was to be no leaven in it. Leaven always represented sin. And Paul uses that picture in the New Testament when he says a little leaven spreads through the whole batch of dough. That's a great picture because, like the old saying goes, if you give sin an inch, it'll take a mile. But Jesus had no sin at all. Another ingredient that needed to be in this bread was frankincense. Now, it may seem strange to you to put perfume in a bread, but this was artisan bread. And if you've ever had artisan bread with a bit of rosemary or garlic, you know what I'm talking about. Also, frankincense, that's what Jesus was given when he was a baby. The second ingredient was oil. Verse 2, 7, and 15 tell us that all of these offerings had to have oil. Oil was important. It was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It was a symbol of holiness itself. The very term Messiah means anointed one and was taken from the ancient practice of anointing a king with oil. Jesus himself was anointed by the Holy Spirit as he descended from heaven like a dove. Finally, verse 13 gives us the last ingredient, salt. Verse 13 says, "You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt." That was important. Always had to have salt as a preservative. God doesn't just tell us any kind of salt will do, but he says the salt of the covenant. The covenant means a binding contract or agreement. In the same way, this was God preserving his promise that he would always provide for us, not just our daily bread, but the bread of life itself, Jesus. And satisfaction is still the picture. For God, Jesus is all he needs to be satisfied in you. In his body, Jesus lived the perfect life you couldn't live and offered it on your behalf as a sacrifice to God. But equally, Jesus is all we need to be accepted by God, and we should be satisfied in him. Because God was satisfied fully with who Jesus was, you don't have to worry about what you're not. Remember, this offering was the easiest one to offer because God wanted it done a lot. Don't forget that the grain offering was a memorial, intended that they should remember that God was their provider. In the same way, Jesus also instituted a ceremony where we should remember, and using bread, remember that he provided what we needed, himself. He took the bread, broke it, and said, "Every time you come together, take this bread in remembrance of me." Read Leviticus chapter 2 today, and as you do, ask yourself, how satisfied am I in Jesus today? Knowing that because of Jesus, he's fully satisfied with you.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.